some fun!
Well, let's start the insanity.
I love the game, so you don't have to wonder if I'll miss it. Absolutely. Absolutely, I will.
The 12-51 Lakers and Golden State, their sixth loss of the season.
And after 18 years, it's time. God bless all of you.
Welcome into the Sports Report with Brad and Clay here on Tiki Island Radio and TikiIslandRadio.com. Make sure you're going over to our show page on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Tiki Island Radio and like us and follow us along there and check out all the behind-the-scenes looks of what you need to know for each and every broadcaster and their shows. I'd like to welcome in my co-host, Clay Schrader, into the show. What's going on, Clay?
Doing good. How about you, brother?
I'm doing good, man. We got an action-packed show today. A lot of NFL news to get to that's really been happening in the last week, but a ton of it has came off of today's news. A lot of people being signed to deals, not officially, because tomorrow is when the new year officially begins in the NFL, so no player is officially signed, but a lot of deals have been made today in principle. So we'll talk about those. A lot of NBA news and notes to get to. Getting ready for the March Madness coming up in a couple of weeks. We have our Joe Lenardi's Bracketology. We'll break down the number one seeds, the last four in, first four out, and on whose teams are on the bubble. So we'll get to those all here on the Sports Report Podcast on TikiIslandRadio.com. So, Clay, you feeling good?
If I was doing any better, I wouldn't know what to do myself.
There it is, man. That's the guy giving us our energy.
I love NFL free agency. It just gets me fired up.
See, there it is. I think you feel the way about NFL free agency like I do NBA free agency. Kind of share the same love for both the sports and all the moves that are being made and transactions and players going on to new teams and all that good stuff.
It's pretty crazy. I like it.
And I think right now, yeah, this is where George has been called a chucker right now on Seinfeld. If you guys don't know, Jerry, Kramer, and George, they're all going out to play basketball, and they did not have a good outing. All Jerry does is dribble. All George does is shoot.
Kramer didn't buy a basket, I think is what he said.
Couldn't buy a basket. George could not believe that he was called a chucker.
Is that the Jimmy episode, or is that the episode where they meet
Keith Hernandez? Yeah. He was in Game 6.
Pretty good episode. That was a two episode, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was an hour long back in the day. 2-hour splits on the DVDs. Had a lot of drawing into the whole JFK movie back in the 90s, too. Had a lot to do with that.
Good movie. It's funny how Newman was, you know, obviously in Seinfeld. I can't think of his real name. Wayne Knight.
Right.
You know, obviously in Seinfeld. And he was also in JFK when they kind of recreated that the magic bullet scene, you know, on Seinfeld. And he was actually in that scene on JFK. So that was pretty cool.
It was really cool. And then, you know, Keith's like, hey, maybe we should go to a movie this weekend. Have you seen JFK? The good stuff is Seinfeld. And it never gets old.
Oh, no, never. Been watching this since I was about 10 years old and still love it.
I know, it's one of those shows, really, that no matter how much you watch it, you really, and even though you know all the words and what's coming up next, you still can, it never gets old.
Of course, never.
But we had some big news was announced over the weekend on Sunday. It broke on Sunday, and had the big news conference yesterday, and that, of course, is the NFL legends, Peyton Manning, announced his retirement from the NFL. We had a feeling this was going to come. We talked about it last week on the show, what his incentive would be to come back. And I thought we would have an announcement here in the next week or so, and that's what happened. This Sunday, Peyton Manning sent out the statement that he is going to retire after 18 seasons of being quarterback in the NFL, and he leaves with so many amazing records that he broke in the NFL.
And good for him, and we both agree that it was time for him to hang it up. And he took his time, he thought about it, and I think he made the right decision. I'm sure it was a tough call, but at the end of the day, you know, you can't beat going out with a Super Bowl, and that's what he did. Just a great career. He Peyton Manning, you know, he changed the game in a way. All his calls at the line of scrimmage and things that he would do. You know, he was really a once-in-a-generation quarterback.
Talking about those records that he broke, this is all the records that he owns or is tied for with Brett Favre on a couple of these. He has the most career passing yards in a season, most 4,000-yard seasons, most 400-yard games in a season, most seasons leading in passing touchdowns, most career passing touchdowns, of course, passing Brett Favre last year, most passing touchdowns in a season, most passing touchdowns in a game, most four pass touchdowns in a game or career, and he leaves with the most career wins by quarterback, setting 200 in Super Bowl 50. So he walks out as one of the, he, of course, two-time Super Bowl winner, only player in NFL history to be a five-time league MVP, certainly one of the all-time greats.
Oh, no doubt about it.
And there was a little talk about him coming back and what teams would be interested in him, that it really seemed to shrink up pretty quick of who those teams were. You know, the Texans, they wanted someone younger. The Browns, they want someone younger, of course. And the only real choice that was out there besides Denver coming back, and that probably didn't really seem like an option, was that the LA Rams were going to take a look at him, but then, you know, they decided to move on as well, and it just seemed like the right time.
Yeah.
Just a perfect end to a career, really.
Oh, no doubt about it. You couldn't ask for more, for a better ending, as I said earlier. And you could tell he was definitely in decline this year. This was probably his worst year as a pro since his rookie year. And even in that Super Bowl game, you could just tell that he didn't have the zip on his passes. And how good of a quarterback would he have been next year? You know, why would you want to play another year and have a down year? And he might have proved the doubters wrong. I mean, I know he was banged up at times this year, and he might have wanted to come back just to prove that he could still play, compete at a Pro Bowl level. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he's over 40 years old. I think it's good for him maybe to enjoy a few years of, you know, the retired life up there on the river, you know, up there next to you, up there in Harrison. And then I'm sure he'll get into coaching or broadcasting or something, front office job. You know, he'll be back in football in some shape or form in a couple of years, I'm sure.
Well, that was the thing, is this, you know, less than an hour after him announcing he was going to be retired, everyone seemed to find jobs for Peyton Manning. They, you know, they asked, would he be a coach? Would he be in the front office somewhere of some team? Would he be in the booth? If he was in the booth, which network would he be with? ESPN, CBS? It's just all these other people were trying to find jobs for Peyton Manning after he just had a job for 18 seasons.
Right.
You know, it didn't even give the guy really a whole day without trying to fit in a different position for him.
He'll figure it out. I'm sure of that. Let him figure it out. Give him some time. He'll be doing something. He may be a position coach. You know, I think he'd be a great quarterback coach. Would probably be a good offensive coordinator. You know, maybe in college, a lot of people want him to come back to Tennessee. You know, and be their quarterback. The University of Tennessee, I'm talking about, and be their quarterback coach, offensive coordinator, even one day. I could see that. I think he'd be a great quarterback coach and offensive coordinator. I really do. I think he'll get into coaching. Just his personality.
Might be right on that. He's still, you know, younger-ish as a coach. That's, you know, really young age right there. So I think you're right. We may have seen the last of Peyton Manning playing football after, you know, tremendous career that he's had. I certainly don't think we've seen the end of Peyton Manning doing something in relation to football.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. I could see him being an NFL coach one day. In all honesty, there hasn't been that many great players come back and be coaches. You know what I mean? If you really think about it. I know they all played, but Mike Ditka was a really good
player. I was going to say, Dick is probably the best one you could think of right off the bat.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, a lot of great players it seemed like didn't get into coaching, you know.
Announced before, you know, we knew this almost a month ago. Now, as soon as the season was over, we knew that Calvin Johnson had intentions to retire from the NFL, and today he officially did that, releasing a statement, and the Lions officially placed him on the NFL's retired list. So Megatron is officially done.
And a great career for him, you know, a little shorter than most expected. Really surprised when I first heard about it. I was really surprised. But, you know, I guess when it's time, it's time. Just a freak athlete, you know. He's you know, they don't grow on trees, Calvin Johnson. I mean, he's nicknamed Megatron for a reason.
That's true.
I could actually see him coming back in a couple of years, maybe with a little bit of rest, and, you know.
That's what Pat Man Jones said today. He was on with Mike and Mike, and he was on with Russillo and Cannell today, and they asked him the same thing. He believed that Calvin Johnson would make a return either, you know, not this year or maybe the year after that.
I could see it, because he's still relatively young. Seems like just a few years ago he's playing at Georgia Tech.
I could see a situation where, you know, this is right on that edge of Tom Brady here, but if Bill Belichick calls Calvin Johnson, says, hey, you know, I got Tom Brady here. Need a big time receiver to go out and get some catches. What do you think?
Right.
You want to make the playoffs and go to the Super Bowl? You may be right. We may not have seen the last of Calvin Johnson, but like I said, he has officially announced his retirement as of right now from the game.
Best of luck to him.
Definitely one of the best. And you got to think, Clay, you know, all this news going out in the last month or so about, you know, all these legends of NFL receivers kind of bickering back and forth on who should be voted into the Hall of Fame. You know, of course, T.O. had something to say about that when he wasn't put in. He didn't get that at all. And there's been a lot of talk going on between him and Marvin Williams. You got to think at some point, where do you stack Calvin Johnson in that list of receivers trying to open up the door to get into the Hall of Fame?
Definitely Hall of Fame worthy. I think a couple more really good productive years would have further ensured that. But yeah, he had a great year a few years ago. I mean, what was it? most catches or most yards. I think it was most yards in a season a few years ago in NFL history. So, yeah, he's definitely in the conversation. I think he probably be a first ballot receiver. It hurt him retiring early. The total numbers for a career, you know, might not be that great. But, yeah, he'll definitely be considered on his time.
I think so, too. We mentioned some other people who announced they're going to retire this season. Three other guys. Charles Woodson, of course, in his long time. Actually came into the league with Peyton Manning 18 years ago. A former Heisman Trophy winner. He came in. He announced he's going to retire after this year. So he's gone, as well as Beast Mode. Marshawn Lynch announced his retirement from the NFL right after the season. And also riding off into the sunset was your boy.
Jared Allen.
I like
that. That's how I like to retire from football.
Just riding off on a horse into a snowy field. That's pretty cool. He was always a good guy, like, you know, his attitude and personality and everything.
Right.
He was a funny guy. So he'll definitely be missed. All these guys will definitely be missed by their teams and the NFL as a whole.
He's a lot of good players. All them guys you mentioned are still very good players that still contributed a lot.
That's true. All of them had pretty good seats. You know, Marshawn Lynch, he was hurt. Peyton Manning, of course, he was hurt. And he didn't really have as good of a season as he had years prior. Certainly, you could think, you know, you could see in a situation in your mind, you wouldn't be too surprised if they, you know, before all this, they came back and played one more season. You wouldn't be too surprised at that. So most of the time when you think of NFL players retiring, it's guys who have been out of the game already for a year or so, just quietly finishing out their contracts. But really, fantastic careers by all five of them. Going to be a tough task by each team to fill their gap.
Especially the Lions. They had to be caught off guard by that.
I know. And you got to think where they're going to go from here. They have to get some skill guys. They have a lot of questions to answer on defense as well. They just, not what the Lions needed at this time, when the one thing they had for sure was a strong guy on the side called Megatron. They could just throw the ball up to and he'd go get it.
That's a tough blow for Detroit.
So I mentioned we had a lot of news happen since last week's show here on the Sports Support. Last week, there were a couple of signings and releases in the NFL that are pretty key that I want to get to before we get to this week's news and today's list of names that have been signed or traded or released. Last week, Clay, we saw that Baltimore Ravens extended the contract of quarterback Joe Flacco for 3 more seasons. For sure going to be locking him up, and he's going to be their guy going forward.
Well, can't blame him for that. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. You know, there's always that perpetual question, is Joe Flacco an elite quarterback, or is Joe Flacco not? I think Donald Trump has even asked the question, is Joe Flacco an elite quarterback? But
you can never say definitively yes.
Right, but the fact is he's a good quarterback. He's won a Super Bowl. He's proven. It's hard to get a proven quarterback in this day and age in the NFL. So if you have one, you need to lock him up. So you can't blame Baltimore for that. I definitely agree with an extension for Joe Flacco.
A couple of big names that have been released last week, Clay. One of these kind of surprised me. One we knew was coming. But the first one is the Houston Texans announced they were going to release longtime running back Arian Foster. And this is just a guy who was just a couple years away from leading the league in rushing and setting records and being, you know, one of the top fantasy guys in the league. And, of course, last season and the last two seasons really wasn't what you would expect from this guy after injury. And they just decided this was a good time to go ahead and move from him and move forward at that position.
He was hurt all year. You know, he's got a big contract. I'm sure it saved him a lot of money. With that said, they'll have some dead money, you know, some wasted money just floating out there. But at the end of the day, I'm sure it saved him a lot more. By cutting him. He's a good player, though, when he can stay healthy. Be interested to see where he lands and what the Houston Texans do. I guess they're comfortable with the players that they have.
Well, I've already heard that there are, you know, some rumblings around the league, of course, all week. They've, you know, every team's been interested in somebody somewhere. And the Texans have been active in trying to get Chris Ivory, you know, a former Jets running back. He's a free agent, trying to sign him over to Houston. They're interested in picking up some free agent somewhere to fill that gap, in addition to who they have now at that running back spot. They're just really looking for depth. Another big name, Clay, that was released last week. We all knew that it was coming after Kirk Cousins got tagged with a franchise tag from the Redskins, and that was the release of RG3.
Yeah, I know it was coming, and I think it was time. He needs a fresh start somewhere else, for sure. It's definitely been a disappointing ride for both sides, but you know, Washington does have, you know, at least Kirk Cousins has proved himself. You know, they made the playoffs this year. I think Kirk Cousins is a pretty good quarterback. Disappointing though, because Washington gave up a lot to move up in the draft to take RG3 back a few years ago, and you know, he's a smart guy. He's a good athlete. It's just for one reason or another, it just didn't work out in Washington. You know, a lot of people blame Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan wasn't the offensive coordinator in Washington this year, you know. You can't put it all on Kyle Shanahan because he wasn't there this year. So, I mean, a fresh start is definitely good for RG3. And it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. I don't know if the team will give him a chance to start or if he'll go somewhere to be a backup. Kelly may give him a call. It just depends on just what they decide to do with Colin Kaepernick or not, but that's a whole other story.
There's going to be plenty of suitors, I think, for RG3, you know, maybe three to five at the most. And I think in each role, you know, I've heard some interesting teams thrown out there. You know, one of those being the Kansas City Chiefs. I know you got Alex Smith there, but a guy like, you know, RG3 to come in and be a backup just in case if you need him to, you know, and he probably needs a year anyway in a new system, and a new environment, you know, new fan base, new city to get his feet underneath of him again. That may be just what he needs is to go to a place that already is a contender that's not relying on him to put him there and just so he can get settled into an organization.
I agree. That would be interesting. Alex Smith is getting them up there in age too. So
that's right.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I mean, it wouldn't hurt really if you're Kansas City. If you look at your depth right now and to sign RG3 to, you know, pretty, you know, reasonable low contract. You know, just like the NBA, the cap's going to go up in the NFL this year as well. So a lot of players are going to get paid regardless. But this really wouldn't hurt you if you were to sign him to some kind of small contract for 1 year, maybe 2 years. It really wouldn't go that much against the cap for you, and you'd have a guy who has shown his ability to be a good quarterback. It'd be a nice guy to have in the back pocket if you need him to, or if he proves in camp that he's your guy, you throw him out there.
Yeah, it would definitely be a good place for him to land. I think it's a solid organization, a solid head coach, Andy Reid. He needs a solid organization around. He doesn't need an organization, and, you know, I'm not saying that the 49ers are in chaos, but, you know, feel kind of, you know, shaky ground. You know, you don't know what you're going to get with Chip Kelly there in his first year. So to go to an established team, I think, would be really beneficial to RG3.
And some more news that came out last week, you know, we didn't get a chance to get to you until after the show, of course, is that the Browns, really all-pro center, Alex Mack, opts out of his 3 years remaining on his deal to become a free agent. You got to think he was getting tired of, you know, of course he'd been drafted by that team, or not getting drafted by that team, but signing with that team. And you got to think that he was sort of getting tired of the culture there, a lot of going on in the locker room, on and off the field. So you got to think that he's looking for a contender to join, try his best to make the playoffs this year as he's missed it the last three or four.
Can't wait for one to look for greener pasture, so to speak. And he's a great player. I've seen a lot of teams already interested in. He passed up $8 million a year with Cleveland. So, you know, a 30-year-old center, he's obviously going to be wanting more than $8 million a year. So that's a lot to pay a center. Although he's probably the best in the league. He kind of had a little bit of a down year this year, but he's still, you know, there's no doubt about it. He's still a player. You know, do you pay $10 million for a 30-year-old center, though? That's the question.
Yeah, that's where you're at with him right now. Is you look at your current roster, this guy going to help you. That's why I said maybe a contender who's already pretty much there.
Well, he might not ask for much more than that $8 million, but I figure if he opted out of an $8 million contract in Cleveland, he'll want at least $8 million.
Yeah, that's 3 years remaining he would get paid. You think he'd want to make that up any way that he can with any other team that's willing to pay that much to him. You got to think that's probably where he's leaning to, a guy, our team where he can make money and also contend for the playoffs and a Super Bowl.
No doubt about it.
Clay, this one kind of hits home to me and you. This is our team right here. The Atlanta Falcons released 11-season receiver Roddy White. Of course, holds many of the records there for the franchise and decided at the end of last week that it was time to cut ways.
Yeah, this one hurts. I saw the writing on the wall. I was hoping Atlanta would try and restructure his contract because he wasn't making too much, honestly, for the player. He's not the player he used to be. After all his incentives and everything, he was going to be making about $6 million a year, which is just way too much money for a player producing at the level he produced last year. I was hoping they would restructure his deal, and you know, I was hoping he'd stay in Atlanta another year or two and be, you know, the third or fourth receiver and kind of mentor Julio Jones and Justin Hardy, and you know, maybe if Atlanta drafted another young receiver this year, you know, kind of mentor those young receivers. I guess they couldn't come to an agreement. You know, there's a whole big story with his agent, you know, saying that Kyle Shanahan wanted him out. While I'm bringing up Kyle Shanahan, something seems to happen with Kyle Shanahan every offseason. His name gets thrown out there in some negative way. I don't know. He's not that great of an offensive coordinator. It seems like he always starts out great, and then they kind of, his team's offense is fizzled at the end of the year. You know, exactly what happened in Atlanta this year. And now there's this story with Roddy Y, you know, Kyle Shanahan said, apparently he told the Falcons, he said, it's either Roddy's gone or I'm gone. It seems like it's something every offseason with Kyle Shanahan. It kind of worries me as a Falcons fan. And it really bothers me that that's the way that Roddy White's career in Atlanta is going to end, because, you know, he loved the city of Atlanta. He loved being a part of Atlanta, and it's sad to see it end this way.
Yeah, and you got to think, even going back to last season when, you know, what was it about? Atlanta was still pretty hot at this, I believe. You know, winners of the first five games. Somewhere in that realm there, Roddy White was saying, hey, I'm not getting enough touches. I'm not, you know, they're not throwing me the ball enough. I need to be more. And that's kind of where you saw it. You know, before that, he wasn't really getting enough touches. You forget that Roddy White's even on the team some games. After this statement, of course, he gets thrown the ball a little bit more. And then you see the drops, you know, and the targets go down even more. So it was just a weird season. It's sad to see it end this way, like you said, because of what he's done for the city of Atlanta and the Atlanta Falcons. You do hope, though, that he can go somewhere his last couple seasons in the league here and manufacture what he can, maybe make a run in the playoffs with the other team.
Yeah, I hope he does land on a good team. I really do. There's been rumors that he might go to Tampa Bay, which I think would be a good signing for the Bucs. He'd get back, you know, with Dirk Cutter, who was his offensive coordinator in Atlanta. You know, he would kind of help mentor, you know, Mike Evans and obviously Jameis Winston. I think that'd be a good landing place for him is in Tampa.
That's true. I can see that being a really good spot for Roddy White.
Yeah, I really do.
And
it's easy to say that, but I believe it.
And really, the rest of this NFL news that I want to get to here is really from – started really yesterday, and then it's now a lot happened today I want to get to. But a news story broke last night, Clay. I first heard about it from Carter, our friend, of course. Went back on Twitter and checked to make sure all the details and everything. But it looks like the Tennessee Titans are going to be getting a franchise running back to go along with Marcus Mariota.
I saw that. A little surprising, in my opinion. But I like it in a way.
The Eagles have traded running back DeMarco Murray, of course, brought in from Chip Kelly a year ago. That weird three-headed running back system they had last year. He didn't really get a lot of touches. Probably his least productive year in the league. And it's tough to be productive when you're, you know, not getting nowhere near as many touches as you did in Dallas. But he comes in with Tennessee, Clay, and you got to think he's going to be kind of on the workload with the Titans offense this season.
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to get a lot of workload. I think it's a good that he's out of Philadelphia. It just didn't seem like it worked well there last year. I mean, obviously, I think Chip Kelly might have something to do with that. But, the Titans needed a good running back behind Marcus Mariota, and you know, it's hard to argue with getting a player of DeMarco Murray's caliber. My question is what do the Titans give up? Has that been announced
yet? Yeah, I have. You know, of course, all of this is tentative on tomorrow being the first the first day of the new year for the NFL. So we'll hear all these signings that were announced today will be official tomorrow. We'll hear all the official, you know, picks or players being sent back from Tennessee. So all that will become official tomorrow. We'll find more about what Tennessee has given up to get this running back.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Our buddy Carter was hoping it wasn't much more than a late round draft pick, excuse me. But I think they probably gave up, you know, maybe a fourth at least, because he's still a good player, no doubt about it.
Right. It's not like he's 35 years old and burnt out.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. There's not that much, not that many miles on those tires.
That's right. So a good pickup for the Tennessee Titans, I think, and they're gonna. I mean, you gotta think, Clay. They got Marcus Mariota. Last season, they got the number one pick this season. All the projections have them going with Laramie Tunsil from Ole Miss. And they go out and get DeMarco Murray in the free agency. So all signs pointing up right now for Tennessee into the offseason.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're definitely working around Marcus Mariota. You know, I didn't like their head coach signing. Obviously, Mike Mularkey, we discussed that a little bit a few weeks ago. But it'd be his third chance, and maybe his third time is the charm for Mike Mularkey. Yeah, Tennessee fans better hope so, at least.
Right. So Tennessee going the right direction somewhat. I don't know if Mularkey's the guy to put in there, but at least they're making some of the right moves in the offseason when it comes to the players. Now, some other players that were signed, released today, it's a long list to get to. One team looks like they're cleaning house. We'll get to them in just a minute. But some stories that broke, Clay, just coming up close to our show here, is that Mario Williams, of course, the one of the all-time here, you know, here the last couple of seasons, being one of the top defensive guys in his position. Of course, with the Buffalo Bills and the Texans, Houston signs a 2-year contract worth $16 million to the Miami Dolphins.
Wow. Surprising if the Dolphins signed another big defensive lineman 2 years in a row.
And what I've heard is that they're going to hang on to, you know, a lot of this was tentative if they would keep Cameron Wake, and also all signs point to them keeping Wake as well as going after Mario Williams, and they still have your boy Ndamukong Suh.
That's a pretty crazy front, no doubt at all.
They did get rid of their franchise tag, their guy, I believe, didn't they? That Vernon defensive end they got there, I believe they franchise tagged him last week.
Oliver
Vernon. They franchise tagged him, so they get him back. They get Mario Williams, Ndamukong Suh, and they still got Cameron Wake. So they're doing all they can to build that front seven into something real.
Best defensive front in the league.
Might be at this point. And one thing that stands out to me is all the teams that made moves today, Clay, are teams who are obviously they're trying their best to get back into the playoff hunt. We mentioned the Tennessee Titans there. We mentioned the Miami Dolphins. And how about the Jacksonville Jaguars going out and getting Malik Jackson from the Denver Broncos on a 6-year, $90 million contract that'll be official tomorrow?
They got the money to spend, and they spent it well, I think, with Malik Jackson. He had a really great year for the Broncos. I figured Jackson will be big players in free agency. They signed Julius Thomas last year, you know, from the Broncos as well. So
had a big year for him, too.
He was on NFL.com, Malik Jackson was their number one rated free agent. So he goes to Jacksonville, so. Kudos to the Jaguars. I think they're spending that money wisely.
Another team, Clay, that, you know, these two teams to me are so similar, the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Oakland Raiders, just the way they built their offense the last couple of seasons. And the Raiders go after a big name from the Baltimore Ravens, Kelechi Osemele, signing a 5-year deal worth $60 million, helping that that front line on the offense, giving those guys, Carr some blocking, really, so he can go out there and have enough time to get out and throw the ball to Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree.
Yeah, well, you can't play with your toys without a little bit of protection up front, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, that's a good sign. He may have been one of the best guards, probably the best guard in free agency. So I like that signing for the Raiders. Good young player.
And the Chiefs retain their linebacker Tamba Hali for 3 more years on his contract. Likely looks like he's going to end up a Kansas City Chief for life. A big deal for the Kansas City Chiefs. They want to bring him back, and they did with just a 3-year deal.
I like it. Seems like he's been there for a while. I'm expecting they'll re-sign Derek Johnson, who's been there for a long time as well. Still a very productive player. That's a good signing by Tamba Hali. I heard that he might not sign with Kansas City, you know, just a few days ago, but it turns out Kansas City got a deal done with him, and it's good to see him finish his career out in KC.
I think so, too. Good move there. And some of the good moves being made in the NFL with a couple of signings, but before we get to them, how about some more releases? The Minnesota Vikings announced just about 2 hours ago, Clay, that they're going to release their receiver, Mike Wallace. Of course, this is a guy who played with Pittsburgh, played with the Dolphins, and didn't really have a good season last year with Minnesota. Now he's on the outside looking in.
Yeah, he's been kind of up and down since his couple great years at Pittsburgh. Be interesting to see where he goes. Interesting to see what kind of money he takes. Right now he's ranked as the 62nd best player in this free agent class. That's a far fall from where he was just a few years ago when he was one of the top rated players, you know, when he was a free agent after his rookie contract ended in Pittsburgh.
I'll be honest, he fooled me a couple times in the NFL fantasy league, because I go out there, I think he's a pretty good pickup. I wonder, why is this guy a free agent? I pick him up the next week, he go out and get, you know, with zero catches and then, you know, a fumble and a handoff or something. So it's one of those guys that, you know, kind of like Percy Harvin was, this right off the bat was one of the biggest weapons in the league, and then kind of trickled off the last couple seasons.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
And some more big signings today. The Bills re-signed Richie Incognito to a three-year deal worth $15 million. The Giants are going to sign their crippled defensive end, Jason Pierre-Paul, for 1 year, $10.5 million. $10.5 million for 1 year.
No, I'd say it probably wouldn't be that much money considering, you know, he's got the whole hand issue.
Right. Well, I mean, he's got a club on his arm. It's just a big club he can just swing around and knock people out with. So you got to think they want to have that on their team instead of somebody else doing it to them.
Yeah, I guess so. that's a pretty smart signing. I didn't figure that he wouldn't be able to demand too much money. And I was hoping he did the open market, but
I think with McAdoo being announced a new head coach after Tom Coughlin was like, oh, you got to think that they're going to try their best to keep this core together. It's just going to be one of those teams that even though they may lose a head coach along the way, the culture is going to stay the same, and they're going to try to keep everyone on the team that has built it to where it is now.
Yeah. I think you're right. I wonder if they'll be able to re-sign Robert Ayers or if they'll let him go.
Well, some news out there today and yesterday was that the Giants were asking Victor Cruz to take a pay cut. And there was talk about him not doing that. And if he wasn't going to do that, then the Giants were going to cut him. So one way or another, they're going to make that money up to sign Ayers or whoever they need to retain their guys to go after some other guys. But it looks like they have made their decision when it comes to Victor Cruz. You got to, you know, either give up to stay with us or we're going to let you go.
Yeah. And he's a great player. Not as great as he was a couple years ago, but still very, very productive. You know, he would be a very good starting caliber slot receiver for just about any team, that's for sure.
And also, the Ravens went out and stole them a tight end from the New Orleans Saints. Ben Watson signs with them for 2 years worth $8 million. Not that lot of money, but a guy they desperately needed to fill that gap and give Joe Flacco another guy to throw the football to.
I think he's worth every penny. I'm gonna lie to you. I think he's worth every penny. He was Drew Brees' security blanket. He made play after play this year, and Drew Brees he's not happy at this moment. That's for sure. Ben Watson, he really did a great job of replacing. Who was the tight end that was? He went to Seattle from New Orleans to trade.
Graham.
Graham.
Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham, yeah, he did a really good job of replacing Jimmy Graham. He's not as good.
He had a better season than Jimmy Graham did.
Yeah, statistically, that hurts Drew Brees. That's not that much money, but you know the Saints are in a terrible salary cap situation, and that's a stinger for New Orleans and Drew Brees. But an excellent signing for Baltimore, for sure.
So the Broncos in the last 3 or 4 days have lost Peyton Manning to retirement, which they thought was coming.
Yeah.
They lose their boy Malik Jackson to the Jaguars in a big deal. Then they release tight end Owen Daniels and guard Luis Vasquez, and they're not sure if Brock Osweiler will come back. Remember, they have offered him a contract deal, and he hasn't accepted it yet. He's out there testing the waters of free agency. So the Broncos could be in a weird spot when they come back after winning a Super Bowl. They may come back without a quarterback at that position. They may be missing some pieces on the offensive line and on the defense as well.
Kind of feels like a college team that just won the national championship and had a bunch of players
Alabama.
We'll see if the Broncos can reload or if they're going to have to rebuild. That'll be interesting. Unless they have to draft a quarterback in the first round. You know?
That'd be pretty crazy. Right now, you know, just to mention Brock Osweiler there, he was offered a deal by the Denver Broncos. Hasn't accepted it yet. He's out there. And it looks like, to me, Clay, what all the news going out there today is that there's two teams in the running, Denver Broncos, or he could go down to Houston and play for the Texans.
That'd be tough. Houston is definitely on the upswing. They're just a quarterback away, really. That'd be tough. My gut tells me he stays in Denver.
That feels like the right move, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, just the way that we know and love the game when it comes to all these, you know, Montana and Young, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, you know, all this with Bledsoe and Brady, you can just see it happening the same way. Not saying Osweiler is going to be that type of quarterback, but just to see the way that the league seems to transition this way after a stint with one quarterback, and then, you know, it goes on to the next guy, and you think this would be no-brainer just to pick up that deal, and you're the guy of Denver Broncos.
Right. To me, it's a no-brainer. He probably should re-sign with Denver, but we'll just have to see. Let the cards fall where they may. But I think he'll re-sign with Denver. But Houston. He's definitely going to be thinking about Houston. Now that's a good theme on the rise for sure.
I think you're right.
And they need a quarterback for sure.
And I just get to a couple of the signings or some news out there that circulated in the NFL free agency. Mill out there is the Cardinals re-signed their backup quarterback, Drew Stanton, to a two-year deal. Yeah, I think he's going to come in play here when Carson Palmer is getting a little bit older, getting to the end of his contract. They're kind of preparing a little bit for the future there. James Laurinaitis, of course, was released by the St. Louis, now L.A. Rams, and he's been visiting the Atlanta Falcons the last 2 days, so he may be picked up and signed there. Also, the Falcons and the Jaguars are dueling right now over linebacker Bruce Irvin. It's really kind of a 50-50 toss-up right now which way he would go. But, Clay, what I've heard around the league, it looks like it's leaning just a little bit to the Jacksonville way.
That's what I'm about to say. If they get into a bidding war, Atlanta's not going to outbid anybody. I'll just be blunt with you. Atlanta's not going to outbid anybody. If it comes down to a bidding war, Jacksonville will have another great signing. But I'm hoping he'll come and play for his old defense coordinator, Dan Quinn.
You think that, you know, that'd be your guy to recruit him to that franchise?
Yeah, it seems like every offseason he's been linked to Atlanta for the past two or three offseasons. You know, he's from Atlanta. I think he wants to come home and play. I think Atlanta would be his top choice, but if Jacksonville offers him $10 million a year and Atlanta offers him $8 million a year, I mean.
And you also got to look at Jacksonville right now. They just went out and got Malik Jackson from the Broncos today. That's somebody else you can partner with on defensive end. And you got to look at how young they are on the offensive side.
Yeah, Atlanta doesn't have any pass rusher nowhere near. I mean, they got Vic Beasley, who's a good looking young prospect, but they don't have other than that. Atlanta has pretty much zero pass rush. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see. He could stay in Seattle. I heard that Seattle's not completely out of the mix either, but I think it'll come down to Atlanta and Jacksonville. And if it gets to a bidding war, I would expect him to be a Jaguar.
So much more coming in the next 24 hours, the next coming days in the NFL free agency. We have not heard the latest, or we're not done getting all these deals done. Of course, tomorrow is the official first day of the NFL year, so a lot more deals will be done the rest of this week. We'll get to those on next week's show. May do a podcast later on just to recap everything, but definitely a busy time in the offseason of the NFL. And Clay, one quick note here in college football this past week. The University of Illinois going out and getting a big name to be their new head coach, and that was former Super Bowl guy who, well, not Super Bowl, he didn't win the Super Bowl, but he made it. Lovie Smith with the Chicago Bears. He is now the head coach of the Fighting Illini.
I like it. I think they needed a big name, a splash. I think he's going to appeal to recruits, and I like it. I think he was probably the best hire they could have got. You know, I heard that there was a few rumblings around that Lane Kiffin might be interested in the job, but at the end of the day, I think they made a good hire with Lovie Smith.
I think so, too. I think it's the guy, you know, you want a big-name guy just like Alabama done in basketball this season, going out and getting Avery Johnson. This is the same type of move in college football, to go out and get a big-name, a guy who's been there, done it in the league, coming back and trying to get some young players excited in the state of Illinois to come there and play football for that university.
That's a great comparison.
And that's pretty much all the football. It was a ton of football we got here today. We had to get to all the news and releases and trades and just pickups, new signings in the league. And, Clay, I want to get to the March Madness we got coming up here in the next couple of weeks. And Joe Lenardi's bracket that's out there has got some interesting people on the first four out and the last four in. And his number one seeds are pretty interesting as well. Clay, you want to go ahead and get to that?
All right, here he is.
All right, so here it is. Joe Lenardi does this thing every year. He gets his bracket out there. He's like the basketball, college basketball guru. We all lean on his knowledge, and he kind of like Mel Kiper does in college football and the draft, you know, NFL draft and everything. So want to lean to him a little bit and his knowledge of the game. This is what he does. And right now, leading up to, you know, of course, we still have conference play still going on. Some of these conference tournaments have not even began, really. So, still, a lot of this is still left to be untold, but as of right now, Clay, the top number one seeds, the four number one seeds, he has Kansas Jayhawks, Virginia, North Carolina, and your team, Villanova, all number one seeds.
Okay.
So do you think right now those are pretty good one seeds, or was there somebody you thought maybe would jump in there and take that spot away from one of those teams?
Let me check it. I'm a little bit surprised at Villanova. I know they lost. Although they did lose to Xavier, who's ranked two. So, you know, Virginia's a team that nobody talks about, but they just keep winning. You know, I really don't have a problem with any of those four teams. I think you hit the nail on the hammer. It's been such a crazy year. You know,
exactly. Really, that's the thing, is all these teams have losses. Yeah. There's no perfect team this season.
Yeah, Oklahoma's been kind of down here lately. Xavier, it's tough between Xavier and Villanova for that, probably that last number one seed, I think. But Villanova's had a better year, although Xavier, you know, won the last matchup.
And I'll throw out there one team that some people may be forgetting about who they shouldn't when it comes to this time of year, and that's a team down in Michigan right now, Michigan State, led by Tom Izzo. This is their time of year. They always seem to be there in the Final Four. Don't sleep on the Spartans.
Don't sleep on the Spartans. They're playing real good basketball right now. What about Oregon?
How about Oregon jumping up there? This is crazy season. This actually is a team who was... What? I mean, they were losing Alabama at halftime. They come back and beat them earlier on in the season in a non-conference play. Really, to me, didn't at that point. Of course, a lot happens after that. You get into conference play. Most of the season is underway at that point. But watching them play in that one game that I got to really fully watch both teams, I didn't think Oregon was going to be this good in this season. And they jump up there, and then right now sitting at a number two seed in the tournament.
Yeah. That's crazy, dude. That's off to the job they're doing. They got some talent up there in Eugene, as we mentioned last week. But I think I don't see them sneaking into a number one seed just yet. I think if a team or two that could sneak up and take a number one seed, I think it would be Michigan State and maybe Xavier if they could win the Big East over Villanova. But I would look for those two teams to maybe make a push. But I think if Kansas and Virginia and North Carolina hold, with that said, Virginia and North Carolina is obviously both in the ACC, so that I don't think ACC can get two number one seeds. I mean, it's possible, but
you wouldn't think with all the conference tournaments been underway, you wouldn't think they'd get there at that point.
Yeah, I think North Carolina, the loser of that potential ACC championship game, could be a number two seed. So there's going to be some big, you know, the ACC championship. Tournament championship and the Big East, you know, tournament championship could determine two number one seeds with Virginia, North Carolina, and Villanova and Xavier, obviously. So that's going to be something to watch in the next week.
That's right. And Clay, some teams that are right now sitting on the bubble, they're all right now 10 seeds in the tournament right now. And I want to get to those names. Those, of course, are VCU, St. Joseph's, USC, and Pittsburgh.
Mid-majors there, and VCU and St. Joseph's, but they're two basketball programs, you know, that have, you know, been in the tournament multiple times before. VCU, of course, made a good run a few years ago under Shaka Smart, and it's good to see that they're still keeping pace, you know, contending, you know, with their new coach. Pittsburgh's had a really kind of up-and-down disappointing year, but I still think they're a really talented team. They obviously play in a really good league in the ACC, and USC is kind of on the downward spin here lately. They were as high as a 7 or 8 seed just I think in maybe a week or two ago, and they've kind of, you know, slid down in the past couple of weeks. But they've got a lot of talent too, so it'll be interesting to see how that finishes up. That's always some of the most exciting time of you know, when the bracket is announced, to see, you know, it's the bubble teams, you know, and it's basically just seeing, okay, who's the 33rd to 37th best team, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's really all it is, you know, but it's still, you know, interesting.
And this, like you mentioned, this being the crazy year that it has been, I mean, we're getting down to some of these teams who's not far off from being the 50th best team in the country. It's just, you know, crazy the way the season that it's been, with so many teams losing so many games to teams they shouldn't, and then winning games they shouldn't win. And it's been a crazy year in college basketball. And some of the teams that are the last four in, Clay, right now Joe Lenardi has Syracuse, St. Bonaventure, Monmouth, and UConn.
Wow, a couple big names and a couple small names. I like it.
Exactly. You think two teams would be a lock each season to get in there somehow, and they're sitting in there just barely on the edge of getting in. And
those would be the teams that would play in the first round, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Wow! A couple couple potential big name teams squaring off in the play-in game. That'd be interesting to see for sure.
And Clay, you go back to just the first four teams that are out. There's some more big names, some more big teams sitting out there. You got a team we all seem to think that they seem to find their mojo and get in there each year, and that's Gonzaga. We got a team like Florida, and some surprising teams like Oregon State and Tulsa are also on the list of the first four out.
Yeah, Florida's struggling a little bit here lately, but they could have a good tournament in the SEC tournament in Nashville. They do good in that tournament. They could play their way in. Gonzaga's playing pretty good basketball right now. They probably need to win their tournament, West Coast Conference tournament, West Coast Conference is not a terrible conference, but it's not a great conference either. They probably need to win that conference to assure themselves getting in. But Gonzaga's playing some pretty good basketball right now. I think they'll probably find their way in. I really do.
And we'll, you know, like you said, we'll find out who these teams play their way in as soon as all these tournament games are over in their conference. And, you know, two teams, Clay, that are looking out, they're actually the next couple teams out after those four. Some pretty big names in the Big Ten, Michigan and Ohio State. They're sitting out there looking. They have some work to do to get in, and they need a lot of help as well.
Yeah, both those teams have kind of fallen off a little bit. You know, both were, you know, ranked, I think, at one point of the season. I know Ohio State was. I think Michigan was, too. So, yeah, both those teams, you know, again, one or two games in your conference tournament and – you know, it seems like those games almost matter a little more. They shouldn't, but it seems like if you win a few games in your tournament, you know, you can play your way in, as they like to say. So that'd be interesting. They got a few teams to get over, though. So they're, you know, if you're a Michigan fan, you hope that Florida loses early in the SEC tournament, and the same for Ohio State and George Washington and Valparaiso too. The other two on the next four out list. Couple of mid-major teams that could play their way in with good tournaments as well.
Right, so a lot to get to when it comes to March Madness. We're getting closer to that happening and about, looking about, what, 10 days or so from getting that all underway.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you get those play-in games, of course, to kick it off and everything, and if Syracuse and UConn are in that realm, it's going to make for an interesting beginning to March Madness.
Are we going to have March Madness podcast, or are we just going to do a preview on just a regular show?
You know, we may work up a podcast. I'm getting to the point, Clay. We may have too much news to keep for one show, so we may end up doing some podcasts here and there to fill in some of these gaps when it comes to big items, just like March Madness.
Going over the bracket will definitely take a while.
Right. It'll take up a whole show, so we may have to do a separate podcast for March Madness when we get all this official. And getting, you know, we should have all that by next week's show, who's in, and we can break it down for you guys. And maybe we can fill out our own brackets and say who we have going to the Final Four. And, of course, go ahead and burn them after the first game because it'll probably be wrong for both of us. But, it'll definitely be a lot of fun. I think we need to go ahead and do that and get a March Madness podcast out there sometime before it gets all underway.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
And get into some more just little things here before we wrap up the show here today. And some pretty key news in Major League Baseball. We're getting closer to opening day. Two teams that are going to be hurting in the bullpen, and they're both two teams that have depth in the beginning of the offseason. They think, you know, you like their chances going into this season with their depth. Now looking at the short end, they're going to have to find some ways to make up that space. The Marlins right-handed pitcher Carter Capps, one of the big names last season, who had a heck of a year, really at one of the best years in baseball, really, last year. Coming off a big year, he has to undergo season-ending Tommy John surgery. I think it was yesterday he had that surgery. So a big hit for the Marlins and a big hit also for the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are going to be without Brett Anderson, their pitcher, for 3 to 5 months after having back surgery last week. He suffered that in a BP last season, batting practice last week, that was.
Wow.
And it's crazy to think about a pitcher getting hurt in batting practice, now going to be out 5 months at the max. Definitely a guy they really relied on to kick off this season.
See, the American League people would say, you know, that's why pitchers shouldn't bat. You know, there's a big argument, you know, between American League fans and National League fans. Some old school guys. I've talked to some old school baseball fans that think the pitchers should bat. I've talked to some that think that you know, the pitcher should never bat. I guess it's just, you know, who you grew up rooting for, I guess.
I guess so. It's always interesting whenever, you know, if you're like me, Clayton, you get MLB 2K or something, and it's cool to have that designated hitter on the game, but you got to think, when you're watching the game live, you got to think, for the franchise, you know, everybody has their own opinion, but of course, me and you watch a lot of NL League play, and that just seems the way that it should be.
Yeah, it does add, it adds a bit of a wrinkle, you know, a team, you know, kind of rallying, they got runners in scoring position, and all of a sudden, well, the pitcher's up the bat.
That's a strikeout.
It kind of adds a little bit of a different twist.
Hey, you know what, though? It always makes for a great highlight whenever a pitcher hits a home run off of another pitcher.
Yeah.
You know?
Some pitchers are pretty good hitters now.
Oh, I know. That's, you know, getting in there to get some good extra practice in the batting practice, that is, to get extra reps in there, and that can build you up in spring training, get in there in the season. And that's the thing, is you want to be, especially in the NL, you want these guys to be able to go out there and get you some hits whenever you need them.
I remember old John Smoltz was a pretty good batter.
Old Smoltzy.
Yeah. He took batting practice serious, I guess.
So we'll have a lot more news when it comes to Major League Baseball season and the upcoming shows. Of course, opening day is coming up soon. It's going to be a crazy MLB season. We'll see if the Royals can go out and make another run at the World Series for 3 straight years. It'll be definitely to see what the Cubs can do, if they can gear back after an amazing season last year, and if they can come back and do it again this year. It'll be a fun season for sure in the Major League Baseball.
Just yesterday, we were talking about that World Series matchup.
Oh, I know. That was really one of the first, I think it was actually the first show that we recorded, Clay. I went back and listened to it on SoundCloud. And I think the first one we actually had on there, uploaded, was getting ready for the World Series between those two teams.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So, yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's pretty crazy how we've already came to this point full circle, and here we are almost ready for a Major League Baseball season yet again.
Yeah. Covering all the major sports already.
This is the Sports Report on TKLRadio.com. All right, here, Clay, just one minor note here that I want to get to. We played the clip to kick off the show here. This may have been the biggest upset in NBA regular season history this past weekend, whenever the Los Angeles Lakers hosted the Golden State Warriors and beat them by 17. I had a feeling, I got to be honest with you, Clay, I was keeping up. I wasn't watching the game. I was busy, of course, but I was keeping up with the highlights a little bit on Twitter and the score a little bit. It just had a feeling this was one of those games, one of those trap games that the Warriors were going to lose, and that's exactly what happened. Curry and Klay Thompson combined for 1 of 18 from three-pointers, and that's not a winning recipe for the Warriors, and the Lakers take them down. It was crazy, and Jordan Clarkson played a heck of a game, and so did D'Angelo Russell, who's been on a tear the last 2 weeks or so for the Lakers. The Warriors kind of been in a weird spot here. Curry's been bailing them out the last couple of games. Last night, they actually win their 45th consecutive home game to set the NBA record. However, they did turn the ball over way too much against Orlando Magic team. They shouldn't be turning the ball over too. Steve Kerr got on to him a lot after the game and expressed his anger with the media last night. So you got to think that getting this point of the season, we're getting closer, about a month or so away from the playoffs, Clay, that the Warriors are kind of slipping. They're not slipping, but they're in what you would call a slump a little bit, if you can call it that. They've only dropped one game. It was to the Lakers. But if you go back and watch their last 5 or 6 games, they have not been the same team. They made too many mistakes, and they've had players not been in the their normal shooting motion and their shooting streak the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, that was another game against the Lakers.
And this is a key to note. You know, they've if they lose, they got to lose 4 more games. That's all they can lose to tie the record. And they have to play 3 more games, 2 in San Antonio with the Spurs.
Wow.
And the Spurs, by the way, are just 3.5 games behind the Warriors. So if they take 2 of those games and the Warriors drop another one here or there, they could end up being the 1 seed.
Wouldn't that be something? After all this talk, the Warriors don't even clinch the number 1 seed in the West.
That'd be amazing.
It would be.
It seems like this year it was setting the new record for the most wins in a season, winning a championship or bust, and they could be not the number 1 seed. They may not get to the 73 win mark, and they, you know, who knows what will happen in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, Let's pump the brakes a little bit. They're still having
an exactly. I don't want to turn it into panic mode, but
yeah.
You know, it's nice to see that a team that you thought was some kind of robot, the way they're running this season, they are a little bit human. They do make mistakes when it comes to turnovers. Just we're kind of being a little picky here when it comes to this team, but you got to think this is it's happening at a good time for them to rearrange some things getting into the playoffs.
I did hear a crazy stat this morning on another sports show. I won't mention the name, but I think it said that they've won what 45 straight regular season home games. Is that
right? Right. New NBA record passing the 94-96 Bulls.
Yeah, and it said during that same 45 game streak that the Sixers have lost 36 home games. I just thought that was funny.
That is funny. That's crazy to think about. Talking about Oklahoma City, we don't have enough time to get to them today, but they are on a slump here since the All-Star break, and they've actually, going back to that last game with the Warriors, that was their 10th loss of the season when they were leading at the start of the fourth quarter, only tied with the Philadelphia 76ers.
Wow.
Crazy stat there, too.
That might have a little bit to do with Billy Donovan, you know, being a first year coach. You know, you gotta. It seems like first year coaches, that might be the hardest thing to do is to finish out games. You know, it usually takes a year or two before you really learn that with your players. You know, that may have something to do with that. I'm not discrediting Billy Donovan. I think he's doing a great job. I think he's going to be a great NBA coach. But you know, that could be where that possibly part of it's coming from.
Maybe, you know, he's done a fantastic job this year. You know, we don't have enough time to get to our NBA power rankings either, but we of course had them in the top three for the last 2 weeks. We still think they're a really great team and would have something to say about the Western Conference, and maybe be one of the best teams to go at Golden State, as they had both of those games. They had a chance to win both of those this season against them already.
Yeah, they could definitely match up with Golden State pretty well.
So a little bit of a slump in OKC. You know, they got to find a way to get out of this. They're still, I think they're maybe a game and a half up on the Clippers right now, by the way, who are playing fantastic still without Blake Griffin. I did hear the other day that he's close to coming back. Maybe about 2 weeks or so that he'll be back on the court with the Clippers. Still has to serve that suspension, of course. So a lot of news going out there as well.
Long season still. I mean, it's been a long year. Still a lot of good basketball left to play.
Getting closer
to crunch time, but there's still plenty of time for teams to catch up and to fall behind. So it's going to be interesting to see how things finish there down the stretch.
That's true. A lot of turmoil going on in Cleveland this past week with LeBron James and maybe Kyrie Irving not fitting in there. Some news going out in the Knicks region of New York. Carmelo has been on this weird tear last couple of weeks, or last week really, calling out GM, telling fans to ask for him and ask for their money back. And doing all this little stuff, and now he wants to be at the head of the table to bring free agents to New York this summer. So we'll get to all that probably next week on the show here. We'll do a podcast again for the Sports Report, and we'll recap some more of the big news that's going out there in the NBA and what's going on behind the scenes to some of these teams as they make their push for the NBA playoffs. Clay, it's been a fantastic having you on the show again. Always love doing these podcasts with you, buddy, and it's always a blast.
No doubt about it. It's been a good time. NFL free agency, March Madness right around the corner. Good time to be a sports fan, that's for sure.
That's right. It's like I said a minute ago, it's getting to the point where we have so many things to touch on, it's almost impossible to wrap it up in one show. Remember that we are available now on iTunes. You can go and catch replays of our shows there and download them to your device, listen to them on the go, and you don't have to use any of your cellular data. Just go and search The Sports Report and iTunes will pop up. You can subscribe to our shows and get new ones each and every week. And I'm also proud to announce that we are now available on Audio Boom, a new app out there for you guys to go search us and add us to your list out there as well. That's another fun place just to check us out and listen to the shows. And I'm really proud to announce that. You also can check us out on Facebook and Twitter. At Twitter, it's at TIR Sports Report. Check us out there. And you really want to go pay attention to those pages, by the way, because we're tweeting out all these news that we mentioned here today. We're out there posting those and bringing you the news to your social media sites. You don't want to miss that. We'll see you guys next week on a brand new Sports Report podcast. Have a great week, everybody.